Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. This is Tammy Gaskell, director of the Roelof Janssen Community Library in Copake, New York. And I'm joined by Gretchen Hotchmeister, executive director of the Hotchkiss Library in Sharon, Connecticut. And it's the end of the year, and the end of the year is often a time of reflection and a time of lists. We have all kinds of lists coming out this month. Among them, a number of best books of the year lists, the New York Times, the New Yorker, NPR, you name it, they've got a list. We're not going to presume to tell you what the best books of the year are, but we're going to tell you about the most popular books of the year among the patrons in our libraries. And in every library, that's going to be a little different because our patrons are different. So I'm going to just throw it over to Gretchen and ask her to start off and tell us a bit about what she saw going out this year.
Sure, happy to do so. It's a fun time to look at all those lists, isn't it, and see what's similar and what's different, and to get ideas about what I missed this year and what I'm going to add to my list for next year. So it's fun to look at those resources. Our print list is probably fairly, I'm going to guess it might have some crossover with yours, some similarities. Our number one checkout in hardcover, I was so surprised, is The Crash by Freda McFadden. I never see it on the hold shelf. I mean, I don't sit at the desk all the time, right? So, but I didn't see it on the shelf a lot, so I guess that means it was out. And that was a new book this year. The number two in popularity was a tie between two books from 2024, Intermezzo by Sally Rooney and James by Percival Everett. So it's interesting. You have a real mass markety kind of thriller in the first spot, right? And then you have Sally Rooney, who's sort of a force unto herself. And then you have the undisputed number one book of last year, which is, you know, this year we didn't have a big book that everybody was talking about, like James last year. So I think some of these high circs are people waiting to get their hands on it, and also book club interest. We always encourage our book clubs. We have three that the library runs, and then we also procure books for other local book clubs. We always ask those groups to try to pick things that, you know, came out at least a year ago so that we have a better chance of getting copies and interlibrary loan. And then in third and fourth spots, close in numbers, are two big thrillers, Nightshade by Michael Connelly from this year and also Nobody's Fool by Harlan Coben. And then there are a whole bunch tied with a similar number after that, and it's they tend to be all older books except Ann Tyler's 3 Days in June is in there, and all the others in fourth spot or fifth spot are books that came out in 23, 22, 2019, 2020, and again, I think that's because book clubs were interested in them. And in all of those sort of top 10 books, only one was nonfiction, which was Cast by Isabel Wilkerson, which was from 2020. All the others were fiction. A broad spectrum, as you could see, from literary fiction to thrillers to what you might call women's fiction and other genre fiction. So how is it over there at Rojan this year? What did it look like?
Interesting, because it's actually quite different. So we can talk about ebooks and audiobooks as well.
Yes, I have those separate.
We have very different lists when I look at the print list and the ebooks and audiobooks.
Our print list.
Yeah, our print list is very high. It's highly driven by book clubs. And looking at it, I was like, oh, well, all of these top books were ones that our book clubs read. So that drove a lot of the interest in those books. So the top ones, we have a nonfiction book club that's very, very popular. So actually a lot of our top books are nonfiction as a result.
Interesting, yeah.
But what I was most interested to learn was the number one book. And we have two ways of looking at this. I looked at both books that were checked out at our library, at our location, but also books checked out by people who are our patrons, but they might have checked it out at a neighboring library. Mm-hmm. And that was different too, though not as different, because there's most of our patrons do check them out at our location. But the mm-hmm. biggest one checked out by our patrons was The House of the Cerulean Sea, a fantasy novel by T.J. Klune. And I don't see a lot of fantasy going out here, so I found that really interesting to see that that was the top book.
Wow.
But then after that, it was largely nonfiction, Book and Dagger, How Scholars and Librarians Became the Unlikely Spies of World War II by Elise Graham. That was one of our book club picks. And World War II is always a popular topic here as well. The top of the fiction list after House of the Cerulean Sea was James, as for your library. James still is very popular. And the next other ones were Isola by Allegra Goodman, My Friend by Frederick Bachman, The Frozen River by Ariel Lawhan. So those were the top fiction books of the year in print. The nonfiction, again, largely driven by the book club, The Body, A Guide for Occupants by Bill Bryson, perhaps best known for his travel books. This is a travel through the body. Mm-hmm. Ina Garten's memoir, Be Ready When the Luck Happens. And Dave Edgar's The Monk of Mocha, about the history of coffee.
That's really interesting.
So what about your e-books? How do they differ from your print books?
Our number one ebook was a historical fiction, Kate Quinn, The Briar Club, sort of a more genre-type novel. We don't own it in hardcover. She's a big bestseller, though, and that was far and away number one. The second most popular ebook was Marie Bostwick's The Book Club for Troublesome Women, also a historical novel. And number three was Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, which was interesting. And then Small Things Like These by Claire Keegan, which we do own in, of course, and that was very popular last year. And it's also a Christmas-related book, so it would be popular right about now. And one nonfiction book was Don't Believe Everything You Think by Joseph Nugent. Which I know has been, it's on a lot of bestseller lists, has been, you see it prominently displayed when you go out to bookstores and things. So those were interesting. They were books that I don't see a lot of traffic in right now in hardcover, you know, on the shelf.
Right.
So what about you?
So we have two different sources for ebooks, and they have mm-hmm. different title lists. So it's hard to say, you know, which one is the most popular book because you have to look at the two different sources.
Sure.
One is Hoopla, which is, I believe, the one you're probably talking about.
Yeah, that's the one I was using.
Mm-hmm. And Hoopla does not have the most current popular titles. So you're going to find more older books rise to the top. And like you, I was very surprised. Our top book was a Harry Potter book, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. So that's really interesting.
That machine just never stops. It's incredible.
Yeah. Overdrive, or Libby, most people know it as Libby, is our other source, and they have audiobooks and ebooks, and those are the popular titles, the newest, latest titles.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when you're looking at the most popular books from 2025, the books that came out earlier in the year are going to have a bit of an advantage. They had longer time to go out than the most recent books.
Sure.
Like right now, I would say, if it was today, I would say it was The Correspondent by Virginia Evans. That's the one with the most holds. But over the course of the
most
year...
Most holds, right? Not that people
right.
haven't necessarily had a chance to
read
it.
Yet.
That's the problem.
Right. So it'll show up next year. the most popular ebook that wasn't a surprise to me when I saw it is The God of the Woods by Liz Moore. Mm-hmm. And that was very popular earlier in the year with many, many holds. But after that, it was James by Percival Everett. And then The Women by Kristen Hannah. So, and The Women is actually the most popular audiobook. The audiobooks were a little different. In part, this is because of the different titles we hold. We may not have the audiobook of The God of the Woods. We do, actually, but you know, the titles aren't all equal. So sometimes you might see a book that not available in audiobook, only in ebook. But anyway, for audiobooks, which are our fastest growing format that people are checking out.
May I ask, is that mostly, though, downloadable, right? It's streaming, not
the downloadable. Yeah, not on CD so much. Right.
Right.
But downloadable audiobooks are our fastest growing format. People mm-hmm. are really, really loving those. So the second one was Here One Moment by Leanne Moriarty. Then Demon Copperhead, a little bit older, by Barbara Kingsolver. James, again, number four, by Percival Everett. And then Atmosphere by Taylor Jenkins Reid, which Atmosphere also appeared on the ebook list in about number six. So that was another quite popular one this past summer. But I found it interesting to see the difference in the digital and the physical, and I have in the past looked at who are our patrons checking out ebooks and who are our patrons checking out traditional media, print and DVDs and such. And they really are different groups of people. It's not the same people placing holds on both print right. and digital.
Right, right. Our audiobooks, Richard Powers' The Overstory, which is a couple of years old, was the number one audiobook. And then Sarah J. Maas, A Court of Mist and Fury, one of her fantasy installments in her series, and that's super super popular. But it's interesting, as you say, we don't see a lot of currency in that, a lot of traffic in physical book on the shelf. But it's other people who are interested in reading it in or listening to it. And then our third most popular audiobook was Abraham Verghese's The Covenant of Water.
Uh-huh.
And that's a commitment in audio. That's a very long book.
Yeah, that sure is. Yeah.
And that's, again, a couple of years old. But it is interesting to see the difference. It's like a completely different different group of people and different
right.
group of titles.
Yeah, yeah. And your patrons are reading different things than my patrons. So we're not that far apart.
Very interesting.
But our communities are reading different things. Some overlap,
right.
but some different.
Right.
Yeah. So it's we're coming to the end of the year. I'm sure you've got first let me ask you, what are you reading now?
What am I reading? I finished, since we last spoke, I read Wild Dark Shore by the Australian writer Charlotte McConaghy, which is a very popular book this year. All three of her books. This one really took off. I think it was a Reese Witherspoon, one of those celebrity book club books, and it just was everywhere on social media. We have her whole, her whole collection, three books, and they were all really popular. And I finally read Wild Dark Shore, and it does not disappoint. It was sort of thriller, environmental, apocalyptic thing set on an island somewhere between Tasmania and the Antarctic. Very fast paced. It's got a little of everything. It has romance. It has mystery. And it's again sort of a thriller and about the future of what's happening to the planet. So it was very good. I read that over Thanksgiving. And right now I'm reading something rather heavy, and it was the winner of the National Book Award in nonfiction, I believe. It won a big prize. I think that's the one it won. One Day Everyone Will Have Always Been Against This, which right. critiques the Western stance about the conflict in Gaza and the war on in the Middle East right now. It did win the 2025 National Book Award for Nonfiction, and it's written by Omar El Akkad, who's known for his fiction, but he has been a journalist also in his career. And it's a very short but very thoughtful, very thought-provoking book, and that's been popular here as well. So I'm going to look for something a little lighter for over the holiday next week, I think. but I am enjoying it. We did if patrons come into our library, we have something they can take, and we've posted it on social media. We did staff picks for the year, and we have our 25 favorite books from five different staff people here. And it's interesting just to see, just like between you and me and our libraries, how different the reading is. In just my small staff here, there was very little overlap on our lists. Mm-hmm. We all read very different things and like very different things. So it was interesting to see. And what about you? What are you reading?
So I just finished Heartwood by Amity Gage.
Oh, that's a good book, isn't it? It's fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. It's the story of a hiker who gets lost on the Appalachian Trail in Maine. And it's told from the perspective of three different women, the hiker who's lost, who's writes to her mother while she's lost in the woods. She keeps a journal. The woman who's in charge, the warden, game warden, who's in charge of the search party looking for her. And an older woman who lives in Connecticut, who is a forager and birder and lives in a assisted living and is connected, becomes interested in the case and is connected to it through a person, a fellow forager she's conversing with on the internet. And it's really a story about all of these women are working through issues related to mothers and daughters and their relationships with one another, and it's also about the sort of the healing powers of nature and the finding solace in nature. I found it a very enjoyable book.
Yeah, I love that book. Have you read her earlier novel, Sea Wife?
I have not, but now I'm curious to go back and
I recommend it. Yeah, it's very good, about a family that does a year-long sailing journey, and similarly, there's a mishap and what happens, how they deal with it. Very interesting book.
So what are your patrons reading at the moment?
Right now, there's interest and a lot of holds on John Grisham's The Widow and Lily King's novel, Heart the Lover, that came out a few months ago. Can't keep that one in on the shelf at all. Those seem to be the biggest ones. How about you?
As I mentioned earlier, I think it's The Correspondent by Virginia Evans. It's both in print, actually both in print, and the e-books have many, many holds on it, which is
That's good. A friend of mine just read it and said it was great.
Yeah, so I will put it on my hold list, but it'll be a long time before it gets to me, I'm afraid. So what kinds of events do you have happening at your library this month or into the new year?
Things slow down a little the next couple of weeks, as I'm sure they do for you. We do have a showing of, we had on my kids list here, we're showing the Muppet Christmas Carol Friday the 26th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. That is a tradition we have here at the library. We do that every year. And for people of all ages, and that's a lot of fun, so we invite people to join us for that. And there will be a children's Not Quite New Year's Eve party on Tuesday, December 30th from 1:30 to 2:30, where they will count down to 2 o'clock, I believe, or whatever time they want to count down to. And they usually do it multiple times because they like counting down so much. So that will be fun, and that's for kids ages 3 and up. And our adult programming will be starting up again after the first of the year. Our Women in Aging series, which we launched last winter, will be returning. And on Sunday, January 18th, we'll have Sharon Chard, who's a local resident and very well-known poet and essayist. She will be leading a writing workshop that day. And then we'll have another event each month throughout the winter. For that series, our Lunch and Learn program will be starting up again. Our grant funding was renewed. We're very happy about that. So we'll be serving lunch and having an activity 2 Fridays of a month, the 2nd and the 4th, beginning on December 9th. And people interested should check out our website. There'll be a speaker some week. Sometimes there are movies shown. Just depends what's on the schedule. And we're looking forward to that. And how about you? What do you have going on?
Well, like you, as you said, things slow down. So the monthly programs continue. We continue with our Tai Chi weekly programs as well. Tai Chi is weekly Thursday mornings and book clubs monthly. But then in the new year, we have some special story times. On January 10th, we have a special musical story time on the story of rap. So we encourage kids of all ages to come and join in on the fun. We have another children's program on Wednesday, January 14th. It's our Adventure Wednesday monthly program. This one will be at Taconic State Park, and we will be hoping to find some animal tracks. If we have snow on the ground, it'll be easier than if there is not. We have another special story time on Saturday, January 17th, with children's book author Laura Chester, who will be reading from her whimsical book of poems for children called Spooning with Mojo. Laura also has, she's also an artist, a collage artist, and she currently has a exhibit at the library of collages, which are very whimsical. They kind of take a lot of these old Victorian postcards and illustrations from children's books and they collage out of that. So those are in the library through February. So you're welcome to stop by and see that. So I think that's enough for this year, but I look forward to speaking with you again next year.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.